Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll stick with us here this afternoon. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can see some of the articles that I've written on a variety of topics. You can also listen to past programs there. And you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And speaking of Richfield Bible Baptist Church, certainly invite you to visit us at our Bible study tonight. You can come in person and enjoy the fellowship, or if you can't make it, you can join us online. Easiest way to do that is go to rumble.com, and at rumble.com, when you go there, you just click on the search bar, and all you have to do is type in Richfield BBC for Richfield Bible Baptist Church, Richfield BBC, and you'll find us on Rumble, and that'll get you to our Bible study tonight, about 7 o'clock. Now, I can't say that we always start religiously right exactly at 7 o'clock. I remember a church in Maryland, and they were always on the air. They had a radio station, and they broadcast all their services on the air. I can remember they had a big clock, and as soon as it would hit right at the hour, the red light would come on, and they would piano player, who was very skilled, she just played wonderfully. She'd be talking to people, playing the piano, just a medley of songs as everybody was coming in and getting ready, and she always had an eye on that clock, and as soon as it hit the exact time and the red light came on, she would instantly go into their theme song, and it was always kind of fun. I think it was what a lovely name, the name of Jesus was their theme song, I believe. But that was always kind of fun to watch her whenever we were out visiting there. But we don't have that, and we don't have a piano. We don't have the theme song for the church service for the Bible study. It's an informal Bible study, and we'll have food and refreshments, and people bring questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We just have a good time of fellowship, and like I said, we'd love to have you visit us at the Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you can't make it for the Bible study in person, check us out online at rumble.com. Just go to rumble.com, as I said, and search for Richfield BBC or Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you'll find us there, and you can watch, and we'd love to have you join us tonight. All right, well, we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to jump into something here that I've been looking at, and I thought I want to touch on here today, and that is something that I think is a threat that is growing, and it has to do with the AI things that we're seeing lately. So we're going to talk about that a little bit here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless, use the program today for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be able to be, certainly be able to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but help us, Lord, to point people that are searching to Christ and to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, bless the program for thy name's sake, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, wanted to get into this here this evening. I was actually working on some stuff for our church newsletter. I write an article every month, and I was writing an article which actually is out there, and you can't find it on our Live with Pastor Al page just yet. I don't think I haven't got that updated yet, but it's When the World Becomes Ungovernable. One of the things that I saw when I was talking about that or writing about that was this idea of people who were fearful of the emerging AI systems. And So when we think about this, it's a lot of people talk about AI and think, well, AI, okay, you know, go online and you can read stuff. The AI's putting together research things for you, and some people are actually using it to write things for them. Use it to draw pictures, all kinds of things. And I was reading this article that was in Futurism. It's futurism.com. And Maggie Harrison Dupre had wrote an article just back in October, and it was called Numerous Billionaires Preparing for the End of Society: Guns, Gold, and Bunkers Galore. And she has this quote, which I have in my article: "These days, the race for AI dominance has ignited a new wave of existential fear among the tech elite, particularly among those in the AI industry, who frequently discuss how worried they are that uncontrollable artificial general intelligence, AGI, will cause the current world order to crumble." And it goes on talking about that. In fact, one of them who's developing some of these systems here, Sutskever, I believe is his name, who's at the head of Safe Superintelligence, of all things, he says, "We're definitely going to build a bunker before we release AGI." And so they're really concerned about this because they really do believe that it's causing problems, and it is causing problems. It's causing a lot of problems for a lot of people. I saw an article. It was online, just actually, this one woman published a series of articles dealing with AI and how it affects people at psychologytoday.com. And she has this article, "The Emerging Problem of AI Psychosis." And she talks about people who become fixated on AI as godlike. The AI, and you know, the AI, like you go to ChatGPT or Grok or something like that, and they look at it almost as godlike. And some of them look at it even as a romantic partner. And in fact, I think it was in Japan, some woman actually had an AI that she fell in love with, and an AI-generated chat partner of some sort. There's these like companion AI programs that they've got, and she actually married it. Of course, the groom only appeared on the screen on her phone, I guess, during the ceremony. But so this happens, and then there's also the tendency of some of these AI chatbots to mirror the users and continue conversations that actually end up reinforcing and amplifying delusions. And these are some of the problems that we're having here. And so you have to be careful, because they found that some of the correspondence with these generative AI chatbots, such as ChatGPT and others, is so realistic, one person said, that you get the impression that there's a real person on the other end. And this becomes problematic. I have to chuckle, though, when I read that, because there used to be a very successful AI startup firm in India, and it was amazing. It just, people felt like they were just talking to a real person, and it turned out it was actually a fraud. There was a company in India, and they had a whole bunch of people working for them, and they were pretending that it was an AI. That's pretty good, people pretending to be an AI. And so somebody finally found out that it was just a bunch of people, so whenever you interacted with it, there was always somebody there to interact back. But got to looking at all this stuff with the emerging problem with AI psychosis and different things and reinforcing delusions and people tending to get fixated on AI chatbots and things like that in a romantic sense. And then what's even more concerning is in a godlike sense. And we're getting to the point where people believe they're even beginning to get divine revelation through these AIs. And I don't know about you, but that begins to make me a little concerned, because, you know, we live in a world that is filled with sin. And one of those things that we have in this world filled with sin is an entity known as the devil himself. And in Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible starts here in verse number 1 saying, "And you hath he quickened," that's talking about the Lord, "who delivered us from our sins," who saved us, "who were dead in trespasses in sin." So he's talking about what we were like before we were saved here in Ephesians chapter 2. And then verse 2 he says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." I mean, think about that for a minute. The devil here is referred to as the prince of the power of the air, and he's referred to as the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, you're saying, "Well, Pastor Al, aren't you kind of stretching that a little bit, you know, that and AI? Think about this for a moment. What really runs the whole AI thing? Now, I'm by no means an expert in this, but, you know, you're talking about programs that sweep through the internet, read everything that they can. They scoop up everything. That's why these data centers are so big and they consume so much power. And they're just scooping up everything, and they're using all of this to begin to put things together to be able to follow a program has the ability to adapt. And ultimately, you're looking at electrons moving around, and then in many cases, you're talking about wireless systems, things that are transmitted through the air. And, you know, the idea that perhaps the devil himself has the ability to mess around with that a little bit. Now, keep in mind, there's only one devil, as in Lucifer or Satan, but there's a multitude of other fallen angels, lesser devils, that are in league with him. And so it's not that he has to do everything all himself, but, you know, he is able to get around, and he's able to affect things. I mean, we can affect things. You can affect things, how things are transmitted, and it's possible to influence the information that is transmitted through the air. We have the technology to do that, and that's part of what I was getting at in my thing, and how, you know, when the world becomes ungovernable, because, you know, we're reaching that point where you can't really trust anything. But the idea to try and think that the devil would not try to use something like this to influence people, I think, is pretty naive on our part, because he is, as the Bible says, the prince of the power of the air. If you go over to 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we can also see another title that's given to the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, the sentence starts in verse 3, chapter 4, verse 3, and we'll go on down through verse 4, where it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And you notice that name that's given to him there, the God of this world. Now, it's God with a little g. And that's because he has an element of sovereignty over this world, and a certain measure of authority that he has, thanks to Adam's sin back in the Garden of Eden. And he switched sides, basically. He took his allegiance from God. He listened to the devil, and the devil became the god of this world. And, you know, if you remember, just touching on this briefly, I won't turn there, but remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil after he had been baptized by John the Baptist? He went out in the wilderness and fasted for 40 days, and the devil appeared and tempted him. And one of the temptations, the devil offered all of the kingdoms of the earth to Jesus and said, "If you'll bow down and worship me," he said, "I'll give these kingdoms to you." Now, in all of the temptations, Jesus resisted them by quoting scripture and rebuking the devil. And he quoted scripture and, of course, talked about, you know, we know in the Ten Commandments, we're only to have one God, not to worship anything other than God himself. And so Jesus, you know, quotes about that. And worship the Lord your God, but he does not rebuke the devil for offering him the kingdoms, because right now the devil is the god of this world. Now that's going to change when the tribulation period comes in after the catching away of the believers, an event we call the rapture, which is the next major thing on God's calendar, and believers are caught out of the world. And then after that, the Antichrist will come to power, and he will establish a kingdom, and it'll be a seven-year covenant with the Jewish people. And during that covenant, you know, he's going to break it in the middle of it and claim to be God. And then, of course, Jesus is going to return at the end of the tribulation period. He's going to defeat the Antichrist and his armies, and the devil himself is going to be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And Jesus will set up a kingdom on this earth, and he will reign as Lord of, you know, King of Kings and Lord of Lords over this earth. He'll take his rightful place as the true God of this world. But right now, the devil has a certain amount of sovereignty, a certain amount of authority, and he blinds the minds of people. If you don't think that the devil's not going to try to influence these chatbots in order to blind the minds of people and to keep them in darkness, because look at this again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, He started there in verse 3 at the beginning of the sentence, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And this is why we need to be witnesses for Christ. We need to share the gospel. We need to let our light shine, as the Bible says. And it says, as it continues in the sentence, you know, our gospel, if it's hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believed not. He doesn't want them to believe. He works to neutralize us as believers so that we do not share the gospel, so that we do not be open about our faith. Instead, we hide the gospel, and then it's hid to them that are lost. And he blinds them, and he says, blinded the minds, the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. He doesn't want to take any chances of them hearing any of this, because he is trying to prevent them, actively prevent them from being saved. Begin to see the danger of some of these chatbots, these AI chatbots, that people begin to look to for guidance. And it might start simply with, and again, let me preface this by saying I'm not against the idea of using artificial intelligence. I think it has its place, just like the telephone has its place, the radio has its place. You know, all these things have their place, but they all have the potential to be used in a wrong fashion. Let me give you an example. I was at a place one time, and I was looking at a thrift store, I believe it was, and I was looking at some used books. Why I didn't get this book, I don't know. I should have got it. I always wish now that I had. And this book was published in around about 1940 by the Southern Baptist Broadman Press. And the book was all about the evils of the telephone and why no real Christian would ever have a telephone, because telephones led to the sins of gossip and slothfulness and just had a whole variety of things. Because remember, telephones were fairly new back in the 30s and early 40s. And so the person who wrote the book was of the opinion that no God-fearing man or woman would ever have anything to do with a telephone. And let me fast forward. I can remember being at a a meeting, a conference one time, probably about 20 years ago, and the individual was talking about the dangers of computers and going online, and there were two older preachers in front of me. I'm sure both of them are with the Lord now because they were old then. This was 20-some years ago, and I remember the one turned the other going, I don't have no computer. I don't see any reason why anybody would have a computer. It's just a waste of time. It's like, I look at my ministry, and it's like I'm too dependent on my computer. And, of course, there's my cell phone in my pocket right now. So going by those standards, I guess I would be hopeless. But the concern was the prince of the power of the air using the telephone, using the computer. People said the same thing about television, you know, the things that would come over the television, and the devil trying to get a foothold in people's lives, because he is the not only the prince of the power of the air, but he is the god of this world, and he's trying to do everything he can in order to deceive people. Look over here in the Gospel of John again, in chapter number 8, John chapter number 8. Let me just turn over there here. In John chapter number 8, as you come down here to verse number 44, Jesus is talking to the Jewish leaders there that are giving him a problem. He says, "Ye are of your father the devil." This is John 8, verse 44. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." This is what Jesus said that the devil is. Satan is a liar. He is the father of lies. And this is why we need to be careful, because the devil, if he could, would do all that he can to deceive us, and to not just to deceive us, but to suck us into his deception and keep us there as long as he can. In Matthew chapter 24, and it says in verse number 24, that says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders." Now, let me pause for a minute. He's warning about what will be happening during the tribulation period, but this doesn't mean that we're not going to see trial balloons go up by the devil, foreshadowings of this, but especially during the tribulation period, false Christ, false prophets, and they're going to show signs, great signs and wonders, not just signs and wonders, great signs and wonders. And he says, "In so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now, the elect is referring to people who come to Christ during the tribulation period. And this is written as a warning for what's going to happen to them. And that makes sense if you think about it, because what does the false prophet do during the tribulation period? Well, what he does is, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13, he does great wonders. Let's see here, chapter 13, Revelation 13, verse number 13. "And he doth," talking about the false prophet, "and he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell," save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And that, of course, is that infamous 666. Forgive me, my voice seems to be going here as we get to the end of the program. But what I'm trying to say is, we need to be aware that the devil walketh about, not merely as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but he walks about deceiving, even if he can, believers themselves. He does signs and great wonders, the Bible says. And I don't think that these AI systems are immune from the influence of the devil. We need to be careful. Yes, AI can be a tremendous tool, but we also need to be careful. We need to put God first and foremost in all things. Well, be aware. Thanks for listening. God bless. Join us next time.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night
from 10 to midnight.
And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.